As you're turning to Luke 21, we're going to start right where we left off this morning in verse 36. I just want to ask a quick question just for my calculations. How many of you were here exactly 7 years ago? In other words, you were attending Old TBC on 61st in early 1998. Hold your hands up. Okay, how many of you weren't? Hold your hands up. Huh. I'm not a good statistician. Half. About. Okay, good. Because you heard this before. Just checking. So, not really. Okay. Verse 36, I want you just to look at this again. Watch, therefore, and pray, Jesus specifically speaking to us, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and now the emphasis, and to stand before the Son of Man. I want you to think with me this evening about all the facets of standing before the Son of Man that you could ponder in your hearts tonight. Think about what it's going to be like. Think about what the Lord's going to look at, what He's going to find, what exactly that moment will mean to your daily life today, tomorrow, the days and weeks ahead. Because this evening, standing before the Son of God should be high on our list of priorities and motivations. Martin Luther, the great reformer, one of the greatest Bible expositors and movers in the church, confessed at the end of his life that what kept him going, if you know anything about his life, he had a very difficult life, a lot of trials, a lot of adversities, a lot of times he was close to death, and a lot of struggles and sorrows and depressions in his life. But he said, this is what keeps me going. He says, I have but two dates on my calendar, today and the day that I will stand before the throne of Jesus Christ. He says, I measure today by that second date. I keep those two dates ever before my eyes as I try to start another day with all the adversity, all the affliction, and all the difficulty. I know someday that second date is coming. I will stand before, as verse 36 says, the Son of Man. The Son of Man became flesh for us that we might come into His presence. And He leaves us here, as He says in verse 34, to take heed to ourselves and to watch and pray in verse 36. And I would like to encourage you to that. Jonathan Edwards, probably the greatest mind ever produced in an American. I mean, an unbelievable thinker and powerful theologian and writer and educator, had as his lifelong resolve. He was from the generation 300 years ago where they kind of spoke in resolved, resolved, resolved. You can tell John Piper reads Jonathan Edwards a lot because he's picked that up. Resolved, resolved, resolved. If you ever read his writings, Piper's, you hear Edwards. But this is what Jonathan Edwards resolved as a young man and renewed the resolve all the way through his life. This is his resolve. Resolved that I will not do anything that I would not want to be doing when Christ comes. Resolved that I will not do anything that I would not want to be found doing when Christ comes for me. Have you come to that place in your life where you think, I don't want to do that? If Jesus Christ should come or call, I don't want those who see my life to find that was in my life. I don't want that. That's one level. The next level is, because Christ sees me, and because I'm ever looking for His return, I don't want to be ashamed before Him at His coming. Resolve, I don't want to do anything that I would not gladly, joyously, worshipfully be doing at the instant that Christ comes or calls. These men had a concept of verse 36 of standing before the Son of Man. Now I wonder this evening, have you pondered that thought lately?